From WXXI News, this is the Summer of Food on Connections. I'm Megan Mack. Our connection this hour was made every time you're in a restaurant, bar, or coffee shop. You've made your order, maybe you've already eaten your food, and now it's time to pay the bill and leave a tip. Well, what do you leave? Do you have a standard rate that you stick to? Do you make a decision based on the quality of the service? Does tipping make you feel nervous or even guilty? Or do you like expressing your appreciation for the service in that way? Well, if you're a millennial, you might have a completely different view of tipping. According to a new survey by creditcards.com, millennials are America's worst tippers. The data shows that out of 1,000 people interviewed, 10% routinely stiffed their servers at restaurants. That leads to the question of why. Are they trying to conserve their limited cash? Turns out that many prefer to eliminate tipping entirely. Nearly 27% of millennials surveyed said they would prefer to pay more for food and not tip at all. But that survey only covered sit-down restaurants, not fast casual dining experiences where tipping generally isn't required, but is an option. You've probably seen those point-of-sale systems, those devices that pre-calculate tips for you. Do you feel obligated to tip because of them? Should you? Well, this hour, we examine the present and the future of tipping with our guests and with you. You can call and share your thoughts. Joining me in studio, Mary Compton, a bartender at the Strathallan. Welcome to the program.
Thank you.
Also here, Chris Thompson, a food writer for City Newspaper, an engineer, a comedian, and as he describes himself, a generally nice person. Welcome to you, Chris.
Only to some people.
See, I left that part out. I left it out purposely to give you more stature, but I guess you don't want it.
Nope.
Chris Lindstrom is here. He's the founder and co-host, or host, of the podcast Food About Town. Welcome to you.
Happy to be here.
And Renee Colon is here. She's the co-owner and roaster of Fuego Coffee. Welcome.
Thank you.
Well, I'd like to start by first just going around the table and having our guests share their general thoughts on tipping. Again, we have people who work for tips. We have people who, I hope, are frequent tippers. So I'll start with you, Mary. What are your general thoughts on the issue of tipping?
I suppose my general thoughts on it are that it has been a standard for so long in the industry, and it should remain a standard in the industry because I think it's directly correlated to the level of service and professionalism that you receive.
Mm-hmm. Are you frequently disappointed by tips, or do you find that most people are fair in your view?
I find that most people are fair. I'm very, very infrequently disappointed. Obviously, there's disappointments. You know, you mentioned the millennials, and I feel like that is sort of true. I always thought it was, you know, related to the income level. You know, they're just starting out, money's tight. But for the most part, I'm not disappointed.
When you're out at a restaurant, bar, coffee shop, do you feel like you tip more than you would if you weren't a server? Do you see yourself in other people and think,
I do, definitely, just because I can relate to what they're going through.
Mm-hmm. Okay, Chris, general thoughts on tipping. I've seen some interesting Facebook posts about your tips, so.
Yeah, so I do, I'm an avid tipper. It's usually 20% plus roundup at, you know, on average. I don't like the fact that tipping is a thing that we do in this country just because of the roots of where tipping came from in the country in the first place. And I kind of wish that we would just, like, give everyone who's in the service industry, like, a nice salaried, you know, pay so they wouldn't have to depend on tips so much. You know, it would make the whole thing with tipping, it kind of, to me, I think just hearing from people in the service industry, it does kind of invite this thing where, like, people expect the person to, like, perform for them sometimes. Not all customers are like this, but there are customers that are like this, like they need to earn this tip. So even if you give standard service, it was like, well, they didn't do anything special. So, you know, 10% or something like that. And I don't like that attitude in people. And I'd prefer that everybody gets paid like a fair amount, you know, across the board.
Okay. Chris Lindstrom.
Yeah. So, I mean, tipping is in the United States today is mandatory. I mean, people's salaries are dependent on it. So I think it is, as far as I'm concerned, a mandatory thing here. If you're a respectable diner or respectable patron of a coffee shop or any sort of bar establishment, I think it's a little bit demeaning to assume that servers and bartenders and baristas aren't going to give you good service unless you hold it over their head the whole time. These are all professionals. These are people that take their job seriously. And I think, by and large, our attitudes towards tipping are poor. I think, on average, I think people do tip and tip mostly appropriately. I think there are some potential benefits towards a no-tip system, with, you know, hopefully better benefits, living wages, hopefully better living wages for people in the kitchen, not just the front of house people, if we're talking about the restaurant industry. So there's some equities to be given on both sides, but I think we can all come together and say, right now, you have to tip, and you should tip appropriately.
What's appropriate to you?
It's 20% either prior or post-tax. I think that's kind of the baseline nowadays. If you're drinking coffee, you're tipping $1 on a drink unless it's extravagant. Cocktail bars, you're talking the same thing. It's 20%. Cocktails are $10 now at any craft cocktail bar. It means you're tipping $2 on any cocktail, minimum.
$2 on a cocktail.
Absolutely.
$1 on a coffee.
No doubt.
20% otherwise.
Yeah, and it doesn't mean if it's $2, $3. You know, if you're getting, you know, three lattes, well, you're not tipping $1. You're tipping a few extra.
Right.
So same kind of thing.
Okay. Renee.
Well, so far I'm loving everyone's answers. So I have been serving coffee now for 13 years. And I absolutely love it. And now I've been a small business owner for 6 years. And the truth is, minimum wage is not a living wage. And unfortunately, especially for small businesses, it's like we would love to pay our employees more, but that is by far our biggest cost is employees' wages. So I know that my employees really do depend on their tips. And I can say, after being in the service industry for so long, I absolutely do tip generously everywhere I am, because I know how important it is, especially at small businesses. And fortunately, we are blessed with such incredible customers, and they are generous to my employees, which I really do appreciate.
Good. So I want to ask you and Mary, as people who work in the service industry, if this country switched to a living wage, would you prefer that over tips, or would you prefer the tipping system?
I prefer the tipping system.
You
myself.
Do better with tips, you think, then?
I feel like I do, and I feel like it holds a lot of people in the service industry to a certain standard. I think that some people will become complacent. I'm getting paid the same, so why am I going to go out of my way to, you know, give good service or go above and beyond for this person when I'm making the same amount of money regardless?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree. And in my experience, I mean, coffee prices are going up, and there are a lot of factors that are part of that. The climate changes and, like, crop infestations, all kinds of things. In my experience, people are way more willing to tip than they are to pay higher prices for coffee. And that's just the truth.
Agree.
They complain when prices go up. And as a small business owner with only, what, 8 employees, the only way we can pay higher wages is to raise the prices of our product, which people never like to see.
And Chris Thompson, I gather you would rather pay higher prices for food than tip. Do you disagree with Renee?
If it's going to cost me, you know, a buck more for people to get paid more, I'm fine with that. I'm probably an outlier because I know a couple of people would be like, no way. But, yeah, I get it. But, like, I don't know. I feel like I understand your point of view, like, with, you know, getting complacent if there's like a standard salary. But like in that vein, then we should just like make everybody like have to work for tips. Like, I'm an engineer. If I mess up a drawing, you know, cut some pay off of me.
Yeah,
I don't want that.
Yeah, you don't get paid if you get that dimension wrong, Chris.
Right, yeah. Well, people will die. That's the problem with my line of work. People will actually die. So
way to bring the mood down, thanks.
Hey.
I mean, on that front, I think part of the concerns around tipping also is they've shown that there are effects for people of different races that are working in the tipped industry, that, you know, white people have basically a positive. They're getting more tips per volume that they're getting in restaurants. And, you know, there's some inequity in the system, which obviously has its downsides. Part of the other thing when we're talking about like higher costs, though, I mean, here in America, we're generally pretty bad about looking at actual costs of things that we're buying. I mean, not to get into a complete diversion from our topic, but everything from gasoline to everything else is either subsidized or we're not paying the real costs of what we buy here in America. I mean, coffee's a great example. We're not paying full cost for what a cup of coffee should cost. We're not paying for the workers. We're not paying for the workers in the countries where it's coming from. And all these things are dollars and respect for the people that are involved in the process, whether it's those that are growing it, whether it's those that are serving it. We don't generally pay these people appropriately, and we're hiding the cost behind tipping. We're hiding the cost behind low-paid workers in other countries. All these things come into play when it comes into dollars and cents, and it can be overwhelming to think about this all the time, and I'm sure Renee's thought about it a lot more than I have.
Mm-hmm. Oh, absolutely, and especially, I mean, I don't mean to jump off topic, but like with visiting coffee farms, there are normally 12 people that touch the beans before we even get them here to roast them. It's like there are so many hands behind it. And it's like that for, I'm imagining, for every industry, mm-hmm. every food and drink industry, every service industry, yeah. really.
I mean, look at all the people that touch a craft cocktail before it gets to your table. I mean, it's not just one person making your drink. It's lots of different things that go into that.
Correct. Mm-hmm.
You're not just tipping the end worker. I mean, there's people who are juicing. There's people that are, you know, coming up with the recipes. All this stuff comes into it. And it's not just one person making your drink.
Mm-hmm. That's absolutely true. Absolutely correct. I feel like in the service industry, one of you had mentioned that you have to put on a performance. I believe it was you, Chris, mm-hmm. For the tip. I agree and disagree with that. At the same time, I feel like it's almost like commissioned sales. You've got a product, you've got a service that you're promoting and you're attempting to make as good as it can possibly be because you care about your guest experience. And then hand in hand with that is coming a larger gratuity, which I feel like the name gratuity is very appropriate. They're grateful. There's gratitude involved for that experience. You know, anyone can go get a premium steak and cook it at home on the grill and sit down in their, you know, dining room and eat it. But the reason they come out and they pay $50, $60, $70 for said steak is to enjoy the experience, enjoy the social mm-hmm. aspect of it, and enjoy their server or their bartender.
Mm-hmm. And it really is even so much more than that, because when my husband and I are talking about what we want to do for dinner, and I'm like, I don't want to worry about cooking. I don't want to worry about cleaning up. Let's go out to eat. And it's like there's so much more than just the food
Correct.
Behind it.
Yeah, there's the vibe. There's the, you know, just the whole aspect of being out in a social setting, people watching or, you know, interacting with your bartender. At the Strathallan, obviously, we have a lot of people that come from other states, even other countries, and stay in the hotel. And some of these people are traveling alone, and they come to sit at the bar. And it's not necessarily because they want a drink or they want food. They just want somebody to talk to. Mm-hmm. And I'm not talking about myself, but I feel like if there were just a standard wage, you know, with the younger, especially the younger people in this industry, you're going to see a lot of people on their phones, you know, texting and basically not paying attention to their guests because there really isn't any motivation to do so.
Mm-hmm. Speaking of phones, I'm seeing the phone starting to ring. Listeners, hang there if you're waiting on the phone, because in our second half of the hour, we're going to let you all speak and have our guests respond to your calls, your questions, your comments. What you just discussed, Mary, reminds me about what happens in many European countries where the gratuity is built into the bill. You don't have to worry about how much do I leave. How do you all feel about that? Would you like to see that here? So you have your minimum, maybe fair wage, I hope, here, and then gratuity built in. Chris Thompson.
I don't see anything wrong with that. Like, if it's just part of the bill, yeah, that's fine. Like, I know a lot of people get really angry when, like, gratuity is added for things that are, like, over
eight parties
people.
More than of eight.
But,
than eight.
I mean, honestly, it relieves a little bit of headache. The only time I get angry is if it's only, like, 18%. Mm. Because that doesn't, like, in this day and age, 18% is cheap. I'm sorry.
You're not setting a good standard.
Right. Yeah. And you're like downplaying. I feel like employers who do that, who only put it at 18% for large parties, you're kind of shortchanging your own workers. Like, that's not cool. But, you know, yeah, putting something standard in there so that, you know, so it's at least fair across the board. I would love to see that. And like you were saying, like with like bartending, you are promoting a product. You're also promoting probably your own work, because I know a couple of times I'll go into a bar and say, hey, I would like something, I don't know, something, I don't know what I want. And they'll just like put something together and it'll be delicious. Of course you deserve like extra for that, because I'm asking you to make me something off the menu, you know, using your own imagination. I feel like you do deserve to get like extra for that. So yeah.
Chris Lindstrom, gratuity built in, yes or no?
So back to Europe, the answer for me is yes. I'd enjoyed it when I was there briefly. I was there for a week last year, and walking in and out, you know, walk into a coffee shop, you give them your you know, a couple euros for your espresso, and you walk out and you're done, and there's nobody questions anything. It's a much more, it's a transactional environment. They're giving you a service. They're being paid appropriate. You walk in, you walk out. There's no contemplation. There's no judgment, because everybody knows the score. Everybody knows exactly what's going on. I like that consistency, and I like the fact that there's no variability. You're not going to ruin your day by somebody walking in and tipping 5% on, you know, a $200 steak dinner that they ate at the bar. And I don't want to see anybody's day ruined by that either. Not that it's your tip specifically always, but still, like, you feel terrible. You feel like either you did something wrong or these are terrible people. Don't force them to do the right thing. I mean, it's really what it comes down to me.
I was talking to a friend who works in the service industry about this discussion, and she was telling me that she's a bartender. She said that she was having a bit of a wardrobe malfunction, so she was trying to fix it. And this man who she had just served a drink to said, well, I'll come around there and I'll fix it for you. And he said that in front of his wife. And she pushed back and she said, you know, stay away from me. And if you continue to be rude, I guess he had been rude before that too. She said, if you continue to be rude, I'll close your tab. And his wife got so angry with her and told her, you can't speak to my husband that way. And when she gave them the bill and eventually picked it back up, she looked in the tip section and all that was written was, be nicer. And so for someone like that, that experiences something, I think built-in gratuity for that, great. But yeah, I'm sure that happens more often than we would like to say, but...
I think there's an element of respect, and I think that's something that we can all look at people and they can tell us one thing about them, and it tells us everything you need to know about that person by, do they respect the people that are doing tasks either for them or, you know, providing an experience. It tells you everything you need to know about that person by the lack of respect, and that's what we're talking about here too. Proper tipping is respecting the people that are providing you a service. You can develop relationships. You can have an amazing time at these places, but it's about respect, too.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Renee and Mary, did you want to jump in on the question of Europe and the built-in gratuity?
Go ahead, Renee.
I think that's a great idea because it ensures that they at least get something across the board. Like, they're always getting tipped. And, I mean, when my husband and I, and again, both of us have been working in coffee for over a decade, we usually add an additional tip. So, like, there's always the option if you don't think the baseline gratuity is enough, you could always give them more. But at least it is ensuring they get something.
Mm-hmm. Mary?
I guess I'm the only one in the group that does not like that idea. I prefer to work for the tips. I would rather make a lower wage, even below the standard minimum wage, and actually, you know, earn the additional income from the tips. Because I just feel like if it were built in, then the majority of people would say or think, well, that's it. It's already in there, so I'm not leaving anymore. Don't get mad, Renee, but I do enjoy myself a Dunkin' Donuts latte every once in a while.
It's out.
And they used to have a little tip cup there. And recently I've been unable to leave them a tip.
Because you're using a card or because?
No, they just used to have like a little mug sitting on the counter where you could put, you know, a couple of dollars or whatever you wanted to leave.
Oh, sure, I see what you mean.
And I asked them one day, do you are you accepting tips? And they said, no, we're not allowed to anymore. So I thought that was odd. And then, but I recently was on vacation and went to a Dunkin' Donuts in Virginia, and they had a little tip cup on the counter. So I was able to tip them.
Well, it's funny that you say that, because right before I came here, I was talking to one of my friends. I won't say where she works, but the business that she works for recently decided to stop allowing customers to tip, which is frustrating to me because I know I can't pay my employees as much as they deserve. And it's like them being able to receive tips is so important to them.
Mm-hmm. It is.
Well, there's also the downside of, you know, tip jars being out in the public. There was an incident not that long ago in Rochester, I believe it was at Fiorella, and somebody ran in and took the tip jar off of the counter.
That's happened to a couple of
times. Yeah, that happened to me. Leaf Tea Bar, Java's,
Ox and Stone.
The Red Fern, like it happened.
Yeah, I mean, it's. I guess you don't hear about it a lot,
right?
You know, the other people, but that's a depressing fact about this. Mm-hmm. If you're leaving stuff out, there's always that possibility. You hope the best for people that are coming into your establishment, but this is also happening. It makes it a challenge to put stuff out like that, which does leave the benefit of systems like Square that offer tipping as an option when you make a purchase.
Yeah, I'm glad you brought that up, because listeners, I promise you, our second half of the hour will all be your feedback. It is pouring in. I'm overwhelmed in the best way. But I do want to talk about those systems that Chris mentioned, those Square, or, I'm sorry, point of sale systems.
Sure.
Yeah, so the Washington Post reported that millennials are more likely to use or to select the lowest amount when presented with tipping options on those devices, whether it's Uber or it's at a coffee shop. And it's 14% of millennials pick the cheapest tipped option, compared to 9.3% of Gen Xers and 4.8% of boomers. So throwing more shade at millennials for whatever reason. But how do you feel about those systems? Because say you go to a small cafe where someone takes maybe a muffin out of a counter for you, and they flip the device around and you're given the option 10, 15, 20% custom percent or no tip. I think some people probably get scared by hitting no tip. They don't want the person helping them to feel offended. Do you think that those systems create a lot of guilt tipping? How do you feel about those, Renee? You have those at Fuego, correct?
We do. Yeah, we do. I personally love them. It's not a lot of people that even carry cash anymore, so I think doing it electronically is great. And I know I'm speaking for all of my staff right now when I say this, so I hope I'm correct. If they're just grabbing something out of the pastry case and handing it to somebody and they see they don't tip, not a big deal. But it's like when they're crafting an incredible drink and pulling a shot of espresso, which takes a lot of training, and you have no idea how much espresso we drink when we're dialing in. It's a craft. Like with that, I think it hurts a little more to know that like they did all that work and they feel a little bit less appreciated. Mm-hmm. But when it is something that they're literally just pulling out of the case and handing to somebody, they're not always expecting a tip for that.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Chris Thompson. Anytime I say Chris, I have to be specific.
I like those things. Like it is, like you said, I don't carry cash as much anymore. So having it right there, I can easily just like tap whatever button or do custom tip or whatever, which I was going to do anyway. So
I'm not good at math, so I'm for it.
Yeah, because they do have the little pre-things.
Yeah, I like that. Yeah. Mary, how do you feel about those?
I think they're fine. I think they're great in certain establishments. Again, you know, where I work currently, I prefer just to leave it up to the guest. Mm-hmm. Let them make their own decision about what they want to leave, if anything. If they leave nothing, then it causes you to kind of say to yourself, what did I do wrong? Mm-hmm. What could I do better next time? Just check yourself. But yeah, I prefer to just let the guest do their thing.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, I love the fact. So one, I'm strongly in favor of those screens, the Square screens. One, I think it sets a standard that tipping is the baseline, and you have to choose not to tip. It's not the other way around. You don't choose to tip. You choose not to under specific circumstances. you know, if you're grabbing a muffin from a case, or you know, maybe it's takeout at a restaurant where you have no interaction. Okay, oh, fine, fair enough. But like, you have to choose not to. And as someone who's related to people with small businesses, whether it's my wife who's an artist and she's at a convention, she gives people the option. They don't have to. It's great if they decide to, if they want to, you know, patronize an artist differently. Or my family that runs a Christmas tree business, well, we tie the trees onto your car at the end. If you decide you want to tip us for that, great. We'll give you that option. And, you know, does it put a few more dollars in our pocket at the end of the day? Yeah, it does. But we're also providing a lot of service for what you're doing. And, you know, my wife's providing a service for the people who are patronizing her as an artist. Mm-hmm. Well, giving people the option, some people don't consider that an option until you put that in front of their face. So for me, I think, and also for the math aspect, I mean, if it's 10, 20, 15%, it gives you those options right in front of you.
Mm-hmm. All right, let's take our short break, listeners. When we come back, Sam, Rich, Emily, Evie, Ryan, all the names, we're coming right to you. Short break, more Connections next. I'm Megan Mack. Friday on The Next Connections, a conversation about poetry, specifically a new book of poems called I Play His Red Guitar by local poet Charlie Cote. Charlie lost his son a number of years ago to cancer, and this series of poems laments and celebrates the loss of his son. It takes the reader through seasons of grief, recovery, transformation. We'll sit down with Charlie to talk about his work, his son, and the art of poetry. This is Connections. I'm Megan Mack, sitting in for Evan Dawson today. We're talking tipping etiquette, and I know our listeners want to weigh in. You can ask our guests your questions, share your comments by calling 844-295-TALK. That's 844-295-8255. If you're in Rochester, 263-WXXI, 263-9994. You can email the program at connections@wxxi.org, and you can find me on Twitter at @MMacMedia. Joining me in studio, Mary Compton, a bartender at the Strathallan, Chris Thompson, a food writer for City Newspaper, also an engineer, a comedian, Chris Lindstrom, he's the founder and host of the podcast Food About Town, and Renee Colon, co-owner and roaster at Fuego Coffee. So let's head to the phones. First up is Sam in Rochester. Go ahead, Sam.
Thank you, Megan, for taking my call. I want to talk about tipping, and I don't think your guest is really up on tipping. I'm going to bring him up to date on tipping. Let me tell you this. When I go into a restaurant, the first thing I do is take $10 to $15 to $20 and put it on the table. And I tell them, whoever my servant is, that can go up or that can go down. Now, most of the time, it goes up. I've never had it where it has gone down. It always goes up. And even when I go through a Tim Hortons, I go through a Tim Hortons and I get a cup of coffee, or if I get something else, I will always leave them $5 to $10 because those are people and they have families and some of them are going to college. And so if we keep thinking about ourselves and not thinking about the people who are affording us this service that we're receiving and not appreciate them, society would be better if we thought about others once we sit down and have that. And I just want to say something to Christians, too, because I'm a Christian. Stop going in the restaurants, eating a fine meal, and not paying the bill, let alone not leaving a tip, but not paying the bill. They need to do that. And people who don't tip ought to be ashamed of themselves for not tipping, because that just shows the people that, look, you care about them. In the church, we teach about planting a seed all the time. And when you go to a restaurant, when you go to a place like Tim Horton, you can go to the place like Tim Horton on Buffalo Road, or you can go to the one on Chala Avenue and just say, "How's Reverend King?" And they'll let you know how much of a tip that he leaves every time he comes through the door. And
So Sam, I think there's some interesting points there. I think the part of the takeaway, so absolutely, tipping's about respect, and I think that's an important part. I think going back to the concept about leaving dollars on the table, I think what we don't want to do, and this is, you know, my opinion, I've heard you on a call on the show before, it's a bit of an old school mentality, which, you know, there's this, you know, hey, we're setting a standard, And sometimes in, you know, old school restaurants, you'd slip dollars to your waiter before the meal to get service ahead of time. I mean, we have to, I think what we also have to do is respect the people that are doing this job as professionals and say, hey, this is the service they're providing. And, you know, if there's a situation, you talk to the manager after. We don't want to force people into a performative nature in these kind of situations. I think there's a kind of a lesson to be learned there and say these are people worthy of our respect, not only from the dollars sense, but from how we treat them with the dollars we put forward to them.
But you know what? Even if I don't have anything but a cup of coffee, if I get up and leave, the money stays there.
That's fair enough.
Even if I don't have anything but a cup of coffee, whatever I put on the table when I come in, it stays there because I respect the job that they do and I respect them as individuals.
Yep.
And they're there. They're there to hold up a standard. And most of the people that have served me have held up the standard. And when they see me coming in the restaurant, I don't have to ask for a servant. They come to me because they know I treat them right. And when you treat a person right, they'll do the right thing. That's all you, all you're telling them is you're doing the right thing.
So I think we're all on the same page with this. It's just your method of tipping is different from ours. Like, I do everything afterward. I know that I'm going to give these people a standard, you know, 20 for whatever
why
they
standard?
Got.
Yeah,
but why standard? Why
I'm going to give them a base tip of whatever, but then I'm going to, well, that's
let,
what I'm
let,
trying
let
to
let
explain.
Let him speak, Sam.
I'm automatically going
Sam,
to give them.
Sam, I'm putting you on hold until Chris finishes his thought.
I'm automatically going to give them a base of whatever, you know, my meal is, but I'm probably and more than likely going to give more regardless, you know.
That's right. We all should be given more.
Right,
that
thanks.
We all should be. Sometimes my tip is greater than what I get, what the meal costs.
Well, thank you, Sam.
I respect what they do.
Thank you. Thank you. I'm sure they really appreciate
thank
that.
You,
thank
Sam.
You, Sam, for calling. Up next on the phones, let's keep going. This is Emily in Rochester. Go ahead, Emily.
Hi, everyone. I love the show. Thank you so much for bringing this up. I'm going to give you the context of where I'm coming from. So my husband is back of the house. You know, he's been from line cook to sous chef to executive chef, running his own business. I work in healthcare during the week. And then I also host front of the house at a very large restaurant on the weekends that's very busy. And I'm telling you, I'm conflicted because the back of the house, all the dishwashers, preps, they are working their butts off. And, you know, sometimes I get tipped actually pooled. I don't think they do. I've been wanting to give my tips to them because I'm walking people to tables. And I'm coming from the perspective of, you know, my husband and his stories. And I look at wages that the back of the house gets. And I'm like, they can't, you know, there's so much turnover. There's a lot of moving parts here. And, you know, I have to say that it's complex. And the thing is, too, how I tip in cash when I can. Because cash is king, you know. They say that in the industry. And there's a tax component too. I don't want to get too far down the rabbit hole, but you know, that can affect people's wages, their taxes, and small businesses.
Mm-hmm. So. Thank you, Emily. Thank you for that. To echo your point, Rachel sent an email saying, be sure to discuss the fact that tips to your server should be in cash because when you use your credit card, they have to pay a processing fee. And many times their employers keep that a secret. So always use cash. But I'll turn this over to our guests responding to Emily. Mary, what do you think?
Well, on her first point about the back of the house, I 100% agree that they should be included in the tip pool. I know that in most establishments, the servers have a server assistant. They'll have a food runner. These people are bringing out the food. They're clearing the tables. They're delivering bread, watering, that type of thing, just basically backup support. But when I think of backup and support, I can't think of anyone better than the kitchen. They are in the majority of restaurants, they are the backbone of that operation. People are there usually for the food. Certain establishments, people come just for the drinks, but you know, when people go out to eat, what they're seeking is food, and they're seeking good food that's been prepared well, that is, you know, steaks are cooked on point. I've always felt like the back of the house should be included in a tip pool somehow. I've been told it's illegal, but I don't understand how that's a thing. I'm thinking maybe there's labor laws in place. I don't know, but I agree with Emily on that one. As far as leaving cash goes, that is great. I mean, she's, you know, she's correct, or the person that wrote the email, cash is king. However, it is nice to have tips included in credit cards, because that actually goes in a paycheck. It reflects in your income. It shows on your W-2. It's easier to qualify for loans, mortgages, that type of thing, because you do have a recorded income. If you're just getting cash, you're kind of not showing it. It's not showing anywhere. So
Okay. How do we better support the back of the house then? I'm not familiar with the legal aspect
so,
of that.
So, either. Yeah, so one of the main arguments for a system with without tipping is that it's the concept is that it's more equitable for the back of the house. The biggest qualm that a lot of servers have, especially in higher end restaurants, is that they make a significantly larger wage. If you're working at, let's say, you know, a steakhouse and you're a server, your average bills are very high. So you're getting, you know, the tips that are going around are large compared to maybe what some of the, you know, line cooks and back of the house is making. Part of the concept is to make it more equitable for both the back of the house and a more consistent wage for the front of the house. Maybe not the highest peak wage, but that's one of the reasons why places like Union Square Hospitality Group, the Danny Meyer Group in New York, went that way, is to try and push equitable wages across the board.
Up next on the phones is Rich in Rochester, who I think has a question about the history of tipping. So, Chris Thompson, stand by. Go ahead, Rich.
Well, not that I have a question, but I have a problem with tipping because a lot of it, especially in this country, it was pushed by Pullman, and it was really about race. Another thing, when touching race, I'm disappointed in the panel, because they have basically minimized the discrepancy between minorities and what white people get in tips. It's not tiny. It's pretty significant, and that's a big inequality. In this discussion, it was mentioned, but you glossed over it. And also, in this discussion, we have someone from Strathallan. We have people who are in places where tipping is usually the norm. But you get into poorer areas, you get into inner cities and stuff like that, tipping is not the norm. So there's almost a level of privilege in this conversation that has been starting to rub me the wrong way. I think you guys are very short-sighted in your views on this.
I think you're making some fair points. Go ahead, Chris. Sorry.
I actually was going to bring up the whole Pullman Company thing. And also, this journalist had this, I'm not going to say fantastic quote. It was a quote from this guy named John Speed, who was embarrassed to even tip white people, because tipping was considered what you do to black people, because they weren't getting a wage anyway. And it's a way to show off that, you know, they're basically still under your control, even though, you know, after they were freed, they were trying to make a salary or trying to make money. And, it, you know, they still had to depend on affluent white people in order to make any type of money. And, you know, here we are now and we're still doing it. And like, just like the caller said, people in black neighborhoods, black servers always get tipped less. I couldn't find the graph that showed like how much less, but they always get tipped less. They get stiffed in tips more often. A lot of my friends who are black who work in the restaurants around here, sometimes they'll just say, "I don't tip black people," and they'll put that in the line.
Jeez.
They will do that, which is horrifying. And then on top of that, they get harassed more. So then they have to deal with, like, you know, people saying racist jokes and stuff, and if they don't laugh, it's like, oh, well, you don't have a sense of humor. I'm not going to give you a tip. And the same thing, don't be a black woman and do it, because then it'll be sexual harassment and racial harassment. And they feel obligated to deal with it just so that they can make enough money to, you know, pay the rent. So this is another part of the tipping thing. I totally, you know, I am all for tipping. I overtip. But at the same time, I think about this and think about what other people have to deal with tipping that makes me kind of disdainful about it, even though I will enthusiastically do it, you know, because people need, you know, people got to pay their bills.
But I think, and this is a very unfortunate truth, and I hate that it is the truth, but I was just learning a lot more about this when I read a book. I think it was called White Privilege. It was a great book. But unfortunately, it's like so much bigger than tipping. And oh, yeah. People of color get paid less too.
Oh, mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So it's I could go
it's like, it's basically, it's almost as if this was ingrained in American society since its birth or something.
Right? Right? True fact.
Sounds like we should use the term systemic. I mean, it's hard to say.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. True. Absolutely. Again, true. Oh.
But yeah, this is true. Across all boards, you know, there will be a few anomalies. Like, I'm pretty sure I'm making pretty much the same amount that all my other, you know, colleagues are. But, you know, across all boards, especially in service industry jobs or jobs that they claim are unskilled, which I think is a trash adjective, you know, usually people of color and women will get less than what their male counterparts are. Mm-hmm. The only difference is with serving, with waiters and waitresses, women will get more. And I think that has to do with the sexual harassment thing.
Mm-hmm. Rich, thank you for bringing up that point. We don't mean to gloss over that issue, and I think you're right. This conversation does reflect elements of privilege. Absolutely. I can do better in booking, you know, future shows that include different perspectives. Not to say these aren't valid, but you're right. You're raising some important points, and I appreciate that as the producer of this program. Up next on the phones is Kelly in Rochester. Go ahead, Kelly.
Hi. I wanted to start off by saying I do think this is a really important topic, and I am a millennial. However, I am a constant over-tipper. I worked in customer service myself for about 10 years, and I think that oftentimes people that don't realize what the job is forget how hard it really is. So you're around people all day. You're on your feet all day. You are friendly to everyone. And I know that some people who have never worked in maybe the restaurant industry or any kind of service think that it is an unskilled job or that you don't need as many qualifications for it, which I agree with your panel. That's totally untrue. So I think it's important in this day and age to still tip people that are providing a service because, again, that's what they depend on, and it's really not as easy as people may think it is. And you're paying for a skill. You know, if anyone is going above and beyond for you or smiling and helping you and serving you, maybe it's a hairdresser, maybe it's a bartender. They have a skill that the customer necessarily doesn't have. So I think it's important to recognize that and to value that. And I think in today's day and age, tipping is a way of saying I value your skill and I value your, you know, your service.
Okay. Thank you, Kelly. I'll let our guest respond. Mary, I'll let you start.
I appreciate that. And I probably speak on behalf of everyone in the service industry. We do appreciate your view. You're right. It's, you know, I've compared it sometimes, and this is actually a stolen expression from someone else, but we're like ducks, you know, we're gliding on the water on the surface, but underneath we're furiously paddling to keep ourselves afloat half the time. So more than half the time, we are on our feet for 8, 10, sometimes 12 hours at a time. We do way more than 10,000 steps in a day. You know, you're going back and forth into a kitchen that's 110, 112 degrees in the summertime. Tempers were high back there. You're getting yelled at. You make a mistake. You're afraid, you know, of your coworkers at times. I've worked in fine dining. I've worked in casual dining. I've worked in bars. I've worked, run the gamut of the industry. And bottom line is, for me personally, it's the tip that reflects how the guest feels. It's the tip that reflects how well you're doing your job. And if you are receiving a tip that's above and beyond what you would have expected, it's a really good feeling. It makes you feel great. This is a random stranger that you've never met before and may never meet again. And they thought highly enough of you and your service to leave you something, you know, really nice.
Before we go back to the phones, I want to do a quick go around the table, yes or no's, and guess you can just shout out your answer, because we're getting a lot of questions from listeners who want to know if they should tip in certain places. So should we be tipping at McDonald's?
Yes.
Yes.
Sure.
Panera.
Yes.
Yeah. Sure.
Piercing salons.
Yes.
Definitely.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Hair salons, barbershops.
100%. Yes. Oh, yeah.
Plumbers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, my dad will be happy to hear that. transportation services like Ubers, taxis,
yes, absolutely.
Buses.
Yes.
Grocery stores. Did I say that one yet? Grocery stores is on the list.
If they're providing something above it, you're not getting individual service, so not really.
Helping hands, though, at Wegmans, the people that bring the groceries out.
Absolutely.
If they allow for it, sure.
What about cashiers at grocery stores? That's one of the something on the list.
I don't think so.
There's not really a good mechanism of doing that.
I never got a tip when I was a cashier. So I'm going to say no.
Daycares.
Daycares? Daycare people, they got to deal with your kids.
Diapers.
And diapers.
Yes.
Yeah, all the poop.
Yes.
What about cashiers at grocery stores that are bagging, the baggers, the people who are...
I usually,
not the person at the register, but if there's someone bagging.
Yeah, I usually tip baggers if it's possible.
I feel like they would be the same ones that would be possibly be bringing your bags out to your car.
Yeah,
so.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Okay, great. Another phone call. Up next on the phones, Catherine in Rochester. Go ahead, Catherine.
Hello. I have worked in service business in all aspects. In New York City, in Ithaca, and Rochester. And I've worked in where the tip is included. I've worked in places where customers tip, that type of thing. But the biggest thing that I haven't heard is customer education. People have to know that it's a service and that you're being provided with the service and you need to tip it. It's not included in an hourly pay. I've worked, this is years and decades ago, actually, when it was very little that a server would get, what a server would get or a bartender. And you have to, you worked on tips, and those, when the tip was included, the unfortunate thing is the place where I worked did not accept any additional tips, which I, again, don't understand that. And actually, it was found against the law, and it was changed back to where you're paid hourly with tip, and the tip wasn't dispersed with everybody, the cooks, the people who clear the tables or clean the dishes, that type of thing. So, but again, I want to go back to customer education, that if you're going to go out and receive a service, that you should be tipping, because that's what people live off of. And in Rochester, unfortunately, the tips were not there. You can provide amazing service, and people did not tip. And this is more in the fine dining area. If people want to go out and have fun, make sure you have money to enjoy and treat the people who are serving you properly for the service they provide. So that's my two cents.
Okay. Thanks, Catherine. Thanks for calling. Renee, do you feel that the tips are unfair sometimes in Rochester? I know we're looking at a city as a whole, and that might not be a fair question for you. But
I think they can be, and I was just what she said made me remember one of my friends who's a bartender told me, and I had no idea because I'm not a bartender, they pay taxes on assumed tips. So if they're making a certain amount in salary, they have to pay taxes on, like, the assumed tips that they're making. So if you're not tipping your bartender, for example, they're paying taxes on money they're not making.
Hmm. Wow.
So I think, I know, isn't that?
I didn't know that.
So that's something you have to keep in mind. That was something I had no idea of, but it's true. If you're a bartender, you pay taxes on tips whether you make them or not.
Hmm. A bartender named Evie says, I always, always, always make more money if the tip amount is left up to the customer. In the bartending industry, the tip consistently depends on the kind of service guests receive. When I'm tipping, I use the tip to show my gratitude to the people who have been taking care of me and my friends. I like having the freedom to have that communication. It's also a powerful thing to be able to refuse a tip from somebody who's not respectful of you.
Oh, so true.
That's good.
That's true.
We'll end on that note. Very, very good discussion today. I'd like to thank all my guests, Mary Compton, Chris Thompson, Chris Lindstrom, and Renee Colon. Thank you all for being here.
Thank you.
Thanks to our volunteer, Frank, for helping us out today. Gary Putup on phones. Thank you. Our engineer, the reliable Rob Braden. Thank you very much. I'm Megan Mack, sitting in for Evan Dawson. Thanks for listening to Member Supported Public Radio.